Lowe's knows tough jobs call for tougher tools. The new DeWalt Elite Series Power Tool Accessories are built to last for the pro who doesn't stop. With precision fitment, durability, and impact resistance, finishing jobs faster has never been easier. Shop the new DeWalt Elite Series at an everyday low price exclusively at Lowe's. We help, you save.
Don't sweat the technique.
You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Brannan.
0492, Paul looks like that Harry Ellis character from Die Hard. Definitely a punchable face. A most punchable voice, Brian. It's so nasally.
That's a question.
Yeah, well, that's a good point. 4459-9975. Bill O'Brien is at the top of my list. Laughing face emoji. He does. A little. Not so much.
The chin.
I'd like to punch him in the chin.
Yeah.
Josh Innes holds the all time record. It says 1989.
He's on the Mount Rushmore of punchable faces in Houston radio.
This guy says I'd punch Branham twice. Branham looks like a sports media action figure. Thank you. Lay off the bottom and baby oil. I don't get the last part. What does that mean? Does it mean I lather up?
What is that?
I don't know what that last part means.
That's like a 1980s wrestler thing. I don't know what that has to do with
you. Do I look shiny ever?
No, you never look shiny.
I don't get the last part. 0452, can you provide some context to that, please? Even though you just insulted me. Although the action figure part, I'll take that. 0979, Paul, 2920 says Innes. Branham's voice alone makes him have a punchable face. Branham is a 10 with his dumb little comb over. The Branham train making a late run, baby.
You don't have a comb over.
Yeah, making a late run. You don't have a comb over, and you're never going to catch Joe and Paul.
I don't know. Branham train's making a late run. I think I got a shot, maybe in the electoral.
Speaking of the... You said the oil thing, and what was weird, because there was two things, because, again, I was watching the Yankees-Mariners last night, the last two nights, too. But weirdest thing ever was Michael Caine, whoever was doing color, they were focused on, is it Wolf, the umpire that...
Ron Wolf?
No, not Ron Wolf, but it's one of the Wolf. His brother actually played Major League Baseball, but he's got guns. He's like Ed Hockley. They were talking about, does he oil those arms up?
Jim Wolf.
Jim, he's like, dude, look at those arms. They had the cameras zero in on his arms for multiple pitches.
They're big.
And they kept talking about it.
They're big arms.
What are we, we're focused on that?
Must have been a slow game.
And then the finals, no, it wasn't, but it was a close game. And then the final stray was, they were like, oh, the Astros won tonight. And the Mariners looked like, that was when the Yankees were up 10. He goes, well, at least we know one thing. One, they won't make the playoffs. And two, we'll never have to see these ridiculous uniforms they're wearing again.
It's a weird hijack you got going on right now,
Blankers. I'm just giving you two strays from the Yankees telecast. I'm like, that's New York TV?
Honey Glaze Branham, Joe's 100% a 10. Punchable face and voice. We already said that one, I think. A bunch of people are still taking Jake Asmon, punchable face.
Yeah,
any thoughts there, Joel?
It's not a bad call.
All I'm going to say is the only thing that might save him is he's got the childish baby face that you'd feel guilty about hitting.
Yeah, he's definitely a baby.
He looks like he should be punished and his allowance should be taken away. It doesn't look like he should be roughed up in the back alley.
Yeah, like you put him over the knee.
That's right. That's exactly right. And then the Red Weasel would get the red buttocks.
Blaine says Hoffman catching strays. They realize he'd kick their butts.
Oh, God.
I mean, it's a texture. Oh, baby oil is the Diddy story. That's right. I get it now.
Part of those parties he was throwing?
Yeah, he had like 1,500 ounces of baby oil and stuff.
Yeah,
Dang, I got Diddy'd. That sucks.
he would evidently, all these people that he was like kidnapping to do these things, they'd send him home the next day and he'd send people to go make sure they got IVs.
That's weird.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Creepy.
Yeah, I try to stay away from that whole thing. I didn't really read up on that as much, but I did see that headline about that. I don't like that. 4631, Branham has grown on me. Don't want to really punch you like I did in the beginning. Thanks. I think what we've learned from the last segment is that the gag show has the most punchable faces. Is that fair?
I think that is fair.
Those were the leaders in the clubhouse.
Yeah. Yeah, 6403 says John Lopez. So go Houston Sports Radio now. Yeah, I definitely got Diddy'd. That stinks. I don't know if I can recover from this. 100% Brad Kellner, dumb smirk and annoying pronunciations. Punch all day.
Nope, the face falls into that childish baby face.
Oh, Keith has a great idea. We need a Houston radio punchable face bracket.
Well, I know what we're doing next March.
We have our March Madness.
Yeah, we have our March Madness.
Booker T won our March Madness championship last year with the Houston, what was it, Media Fight Club?
Fight Bracket. Fight Club, yeah.
The most punchable faces in Houston radio. Well done, Keith. Bravo. That's really well
done. Took all this time, and Keith finally made a valuable contribution.
Keith has helped us out. Okay. Dude that used to say stadium. So now Brett Kellner's making a late run.
Doesn't BK have a baby face too?
I think he has a baby face.
Yeah. He definitely has a baby face.
Like, I don't think he's ever had a shave, and
that's a good point.
He doesn't have a hair on his face.
No.
Booker T does not have a punchable face, says 8437. Yeah, I mean, the reason you're saying that is because you're worried that a guy who fake fights beat you up.
Yep.
Is why you're saying that. People are intimidated of a fake fighter in Booker T, which is weird to me. Why would you be intimidated of a fake fighter?
He's still a strong dude.
He's like 80. I mean, he's strong for being 80 years old.
I mean,
yeah.
you're the one that tells us that he can't run, but you probably.
Well, I say he can't hit a golf ball. He can't run. Yeah. Well, his legs are in tough shape.
But he still lifts and stuff. Obviously, he's strong.
He's strong, but he hits the golf ball 220.
I'm not talking about it. It's how far he can hit you. He
can probably hit me 210. He hits the golf ball 220. He's a fake fighter. I mean, what are we to be scared about here?
Okay.
Just wonder.
If he catches you, look the hell out.
0754 for sure. All of the wheelhouse, 100%. Still catching strays. 8576 says Michael Connor. I wanted to hit him so bad. Why did he want to hit Michael Connor so bad?
I think there's something there because he's a ginger.
So is Jake.
Did you disagree on that one?
I'm not. I've said enough.
So I think you're making my point.
No, I think I'm in good standing with it now. Now I'm being. I think they would more encourage me than previously.
Yeah, probably so.
Yeah. I think there's just something inherently there with gingers that you kind of want to punch them in the face.
1077. The entire wheelhouse is a punchable face. Hated that show. Glad you guys are here. You can't be nice to us. We don't like kindness. We like you to be mean and rude and say nasty things to us.
Don't punch Beard. He'll whoop your ass.
Kyamie Fairbairn has a punchable face. Does he? You think Kyamie's got a punchable face?
I don't.
I don't think so either. Uh-uh. I like Kyamie's
face. He's also got kind of a baby face.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think he does.
Yeah.
1229, most punchable time spent on Houston radio has got to be Josh Ennis. The early national ESPN radio show before 7 a.m. would like to punch all three of them. Who does that now? I don't even know. I should. That's probably not good.
Is that Canty? Chris Canty and the blonde lady? I think that's Canty's show.
Do you know? Do you know who does the?
Yeah,
we should know that
of
as
name.
Employees
it's like,
of ESPN
it's not
Radio.
Unfiltered. It's something
yeah,
like
there
that.
Is a name to it, yeah. But it's Chris Canty, another guy, and then a blonde lady.
That sounds
I wouldn't
right.
punch that's very Canty because Chris Canty looks like he could still do
it was
some
misogynist
damage.
Of you, I think, a little bit. Yes.
Why?
Because you identified her as the color of her hair.
I said some guy. I don't know who the hell he is. I didn't invite. Yeah, and a blonde lady to give you more context.
David Carr, punchable face. You would never say like a blonde guy though, would you?
If there were three guys and you could differentiate them by hair if I didn't know their name.
We use hair to describe women more than men, though, don't we?
Probably.
Yeah, I think we do.
Brunette and blonde, yeah.
If this guy says Ginger. David Carr. I could see David Carr having a punchable face. Like, he looks very pretty. He's got Lego Man hair.
When he used to do the sideline thing where he'd have his hands inside his shoulder pads and would just kind of hang them there, it was definitely a very punchable face.
He was the first guy. I heard someone talk about this on our station the other day, one of the other shows, but he was the first guy that went out and said he wore two gloves as a quarterback because have you seen where I have to put my hands and how sweaty it is down. Come on, bro. That's punchable.
6941 says Jim Parsons. I want to punch that dweeb every time I see him. Jim Parsons catching
what
strays.
What does that have to do with
Jim Parsons?
Jim Parsons
strays.
The guy from that 70s show or whatever. That
he's from
Big Bang Theory.
He's that's right. But he's from here.
Yeah, he's from the area.
You know he went to school. Jim
Texas
Parsons,
Indiana?
Go Cougs.
Oh,
go Cougs.
Yeah,
U of H alum.
Buddies.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Daryl Morey loved all the actors and thespians and stuff.
He liked the who?
Thespians. And he would invite them all to games and all the celebs he wanted to be close with, hoping that they would invite him on set. It was crazy.
This guy said he wanted to hit all three of the hosts and one of them's a woman?
I guess
so. That just clicked to me.
Because isn't that the morning show on ESPN National?
I'll look it up.
This guy hits women. He must play running back for the Texans. Gallant would get punched, then talk mad. McCullers for most punchable face. Yeah, I can see that. If we're saying in general, Mel Kiper has a punchable face. Dak Prescott for sure.
It's unsportsmanlike, with Evan, Canty, and Michelle. So Michelle would be the blonde lady.
People were texting us unsportsmanlike. I didn't register that that was the name of the show. I thought they were talking to us.
I was thinking unfiltered, but I knew that wasn't right. But yeah, it's unsportsmanlike with Evan, Canty, and Michelle.
This guy said Zhong Li. Zhong Li's punchable? No.
Well, he's Zhong? Pepper sprayable.
Yeah,
but
Zhong's got to, I mean.
No, yeah. No one
Zhong is adorable.
Something should be wrong with you if you want to punch Zhong without knowing it.
7'6" definitely would punch PC straight to the forehead.
I love PC, but yeah, he has a punchable face.
Colin Cowherd for sure. All right,
we've gotten to look at this.
PC. I love PC. You know that. But
I know. I'm saying that you don't. Not that you don't like him. I'm saying PC looks like the kind of you feel sorry for the older guy. I wouldn't punch PC.
No, he looks like a used car salesman. That's popping off and wise and like, all right, man. You've had one too many comments. Here it comes.
Plus, he's like from New York too.
I can see the accent.
You like instilled in New Yorkers. You have like you've been conditioned to kind of like come across as like arrogant and kind of mean and have that Yankee attitude. Not that he is.
Part of it.
Not that he is at all. He's nothing like that.
Kind of looks like your local mailman. I wouldn't punch PC.
Do you know what your local mailman looks like?
Yeah, I do.
Really? Do you have a mailbox or do you have like a mail community? I have no idea what my mail
person looks like. We see the mail guy here all the time in the building.
I don't.
Oh, I do.
I've never seen a mailman in this building.
Oh my God. Almost every day.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't even know we had mail delivered here.
Yep.
I especially don't know that we have mail delivered here. All right. We got sidetracked there. We're about to go on the greatest Houston NFL run in history. I said Houston for a reason. It is the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, I want to tell you about my good friend Doc Linville. Doc Linville, best in the business at the NeoGraft procedure, at PRP treatments. Look, he does spa treatments, Botox. He does all kinds of plastic surgery. But the one that I'm personally experienced with is the PRP treatments and the NeoGraft procedure because it got my hair back. Phenomenal the way that they do their work. And we were actually at a listener party, and Doc Linville was there. And he said, hey, Joel, when you got a few minutes, can I talk to you? And I said, sure. And he's like, I want to tell you about the things that I do because I think it can actually help you with your hairline in front. Wasn't even thinking about it. Was just basically accepting the fact that what isn't there anymore ain't coming back. And you just roll. But when I sat down and talked to him and he explained the NeoGraft procedure and he explained how easy it is and the results that he's gotten, I was interested. He told me more. I eventually signed up. I got the procedure. I could not be happier because basically the bullet points that stood out to me, which I didn't know, I never knew you never lose the hair on the sides and the back of your head, no matter how bald you go in other areas. And then it also was very interesting to me that he said when you kind of repurpose that hair where you need it, that almost 99% of the follicles that he was going to move are going to be with you for the rest of your life because he's taking them from a spot where they never leave, and he's doing the procedure in such a way that they're going to stay. I was in. I'm so glad that I did the procedure because I saw the results immediately. I got the true value of it all in 6 to 9 months when the hair got thicker and stronger and longer and went in the same direction as the rest of my hair, same color and everything. You can get all the information for free as well. People off the street pay $150 for the consultation. You listen to us, you want to talk to him, all you got to do is go to 975hair.com and it's free. No commitment, no money out of pocket, no signing on the dotted line. You get the questions answered after they tell you about PRP and the NeoGraft procedure, and maybe you could be the next in line to get your hair back. I'm just saying, if you're out of options or you didn't think there were any, check him out. Give him a try. Talk to him and his staff and see if it's something you might consider. It could be a game changer for you. Go to 975hair.com.
ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
The fact that Branham's taking a shot at Houston legend Booker T makes me want to punch him in the face now. Or maybe we're playing the long game. Maybe there's some long game storytelling. Maybe at some point you're going to see on the marquee Booker T versus Branham T.
Well, that you said.
Maybe there's some long game storytelling going on, 8327.
You got to
maybe
get the
it's
right
some
price.
Long. Hey, I mean, everybody's got a price.
Well, and then but you I said do need to outrun them.
I can't outrun them.
You just scramble around the ring?
I mean, if it's fake, probably not. Fake wrestling, I wouldn't need to run around. He would protect me with a body slam, and then he'd hit me with a spinaroonie.
Okay.
So, yeah, maybe we're playing the long game here. All right. We're about to go on the greatest Houston NFL run in history. And I really believe this. Now, it is a low bar. Let's go ahead and put that out there right away. It is a low bar. And when I say Houston NFL history, I mean both organizations that have been here. I'm talking Houston Texans from 02 through now. And I'm talking about the NFL Houston Oilers from 1970 through 1996. If you go with what the Houston Texans, like their greatest run of success, really isn't great. You're probably looking at 2011, 2012, where back-to-back years you lost in the divisional round. You've made the playoffs back-to-back years several, like three different times. 11 and 12, lost divisional round, 15, 16, lost wild card, lost divisional, 18, 19, lost wild card, lost divisional. So all the Houston Texans have to do to match the greatest run in Houston Texan history is like make the playoffs this year. If they go to the divisional round, they've already matched it. Mm-hmm. If you go to the playoffs this year, you don't get to the divisional round, do it next year, and you would have surpassed the greatest run in Houston Texans history. So I firmly believe, and I 100% believe, that this run that the Houston Texans are currently in, 2023 through present and going forward, will easily surpass anything the Houston Texans have done. Now, if you want to go Houston Oilers, there's two great runs. Great might be too strong of a word, but there's two runs that you probably need to decide which was the better run. 78, 79 through 80, Houston Oilers lost in the AFC Championship, lost in the AFC Championship in 79, then lost in the wild card round in 1980. Good run.
Pretty good.
Good run. Now, there was a longer run that never got to a conference championship between 87 and 93. They made the playoffs seven straight years, lost in the divisional round, lost in the divisional round, wild card round, divisional round, wild card round, divisional round. So which of the two runs do you think is greater? The 78 through 80, two conference championship games, but only three straight years, or 87 through 93, never got to a conference championship game, but made it seven straight years.
I wasn't here for all of that, but just from what you said and the magnitude of making it to a conference championship game, I would lean less years, but two conference championship games in 3 years means you were pretty dominant, and that was a pretty damn good football team. I would go that route.
I would too. Give me the peak over the longevity, not to poo-poo on the longevity, because that was a great run. I think it is very, very close, but to kind of give it the edge or maybe even break a tie, give me the peak of the 78, 79, 80 run over the 7 years, never get to a conference championship. You can also say that, you know, was it the Renfro? Like the Renfro catch that was called out of bounds. Like you get the call there, you go to the Super Bowl. So I'll give that run the greatest run in Houston NFL history. I think this run that the Houston Texans are on right now, last year divisional round, and now building off of that with D'Amico, with C.J. Stroud, with this foundation that you have, I think we're going to look at this present run for however long it turns out to be, whether it's 4 years, 5 years, 7 years, 9 years. This present run that we're currently living, and I think we're in the infancy stages of this early run, will be greater than any run we've seen in Houston NFL history.
Yeah, I can see it. I think that, you know, the writing is on the wall there. The fact that they turned it around so quickly, they did things that not many people thought they were capable of doing that quickly, and now it looks like they're even better. I think that the biggest obstacle that you have is the fact that you're in a conference where you have a lot of talent, loaded quarterbacks, and Pat Mahomes. And that's kind of like the Utah Jazz and the Seattle Sonics when Michael was in the league. And, like, you know, you have some of the greatest teams in franchise history for both Utah and Seattle that never got to a title and won it because every single freaking year you got Michael. And they were Western Conference teams. Mahomes is in your conference. That's the one thing that bothers me, because you would think that, you know, you just have to get by Kansas City. And maybe they have a down year. Injuries happen. I get it. But I firmly believe that we are ready to see kind of an Astros-esque. It might not be dynasty type.
No.
But it will be better than what you've said.
See, this is why I don't think it's like a huge hyperbolic statement, is because I don't think that's a tremendous bar. Like, you get to one Super Bowl, it's already a greater run. Like, if we're saying give us the peak of two conference championships as opposed to seven straight playoff years where the furthest you reach was the divisional championship, if the Texans go to a Super Bowl this year, divisional round, a Super Bowl, don't even have to win it, divisional round Super Bowl, I would say is greater than two conference title games and a wild card.
Well, plus, and it includes a conference title game, and you won it because of the fact that to get to the Super Bowl, you would have had to done that too.
Sure.
So, yes. So then probably because of that, the back-to-back conference championships is impressive.
Mm-hmm.
But if you go divisional round and then you go all the way to the Super Bowl, including a win in the, then I think that, yeah, that's, it's right there.
You don't even have to go to a Super Bowl to surpass this run, though. You go divisional round, conference championship game, wild card round. It has now surpassed the greatest run in Houston NFL history. It's a low bar. That's why this isn't a hyperbolic statement.
They would have to do it again next year, too, the conference championship
game? Not necessarily. It would just have to be in the window. It would have to be in this run. If they go divisional round, championship round, wild card, never make the playoffs again, that's a better run.
It is. Yeah, because it's longer with more sustained success at a higher level than a lot of the wild card rounds. Yes.
Now, would you consider a run if you missed the playoffs and then add on to it? Like, let's assume the Texans missed the playoffs this year. Divisional round, missed the playoff, conference championship, divisional round.
Yeah, I think you have to because injuries happen. And sometimes, especially if it's a key player, especially if it's your quarterback, God forbid. But we've seen it before. You can have the best team on paper and the favored team to do to win a championship. If you lose your best player or one of your best players and everything changes and it costs you to miss the playoffs, I still would accept it.
We'd have to because the Astros have a year in the midst of their dynastic run, 2016.
No one counts 15 as part of the dynastic run, though.
Starts in 17.
You don't consider their run starting in 15?
People talk about the golden era and this dynastic run, I'd never see 15 considered.
I don't either.
Now, I get that they didn't even get to the ALCS that year, but they obviously should have beat the Royals up 4 runs. We all know what happened. Uh-huh. And the Royals are the eventual World Series champions that year. And a lot of the pieces that were there in 17, obviously other than like guys like Verlander and Bregman, were there in 15. So I do consider a part of the run.
But I would argue that it should be. Absolutely. I agree with you. But I don't think most people do. I think people look at 17 as the start of the run.
The argument there would be, to your point, Brian, that if the guys that were there in 15 were there in 16 and then were there for this entire run, that in football the same way, if you had, whether it's injury or not, but if you had the same core group involved in this run that started CJ and, Nico and some of the guys on defense, if it starts with last year and they're here for the run and you have a down year for whatever reason, then it's part of the run.
Dre saying, can the Texans win 11 in a row like in 93? See, it doesn't matter to me so much the regular season. Like, we grade seasons based on how far teams go in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. So I really don't care about regular season record. Now, you have to do something in the regular season to make the playoffs. But do I care about a 12-4 year versus, we can't have that anymore, but do I care about a 12-5 year versus a 10-7 year? Not really. If it ends both in like a conference championship defeat, to me that's the same caliber year.
The Texans won, 9 in a row a couple of years ago?
They did with Deshaun. Yeah, they started 0-3-1-9 straight.
They won 9 in a row, but what did they do? We don't remember it. We don't look at it. We don't say you got to do that in order to get this because of the fact that they won 9, but they didn't do anything significant.
I think they had the playoffs that year.
They made the playoffs.
I think that was the year they lost to the Colts?
It was, 2018. They lost to the Colts in the division.
It just wasn't enough. It doesn't stick with people the same way. Like, if you win 9 in a row or 11 in a row, but then you win the Super Bowl, now you're talking about a team that everybody's going to be talking about, like one of the greatest seasons put together, because of the fact that you did both.
I'll also say if they don't surpass the greatest run in Houston NFL history, which we've defined as 78-80, 2 conference titles, wild card, Texter saying that those 3 years they lost to the 3 Super Bowl champions in each of those years, like that probably does add the cherry on top of that. I will go as far to say that if this Houston Texans run doesn't surpass that, we're all going to be super disappointed.
If they don't get to,
in this window, I'm not saying this year, I'm talking about 5 years, as long as Stroud's here, as long as D'Amico's here, whatever. If they don't get to at least 2 conference titles, we're going to be talking about this period as a waste of talent, didn't live up to the potential, didn't get to where you should have gone.
No doubt. Absolutely. Because I lived through, just like you're talking about Oilers and some of the things that happened before I got here, when I've lived through the Favre era and the Rodgers era, and you got 2 Super Bowls.
Mm-hmm.
That's a massive disappointment. That's 40 some years of football with two of the greatest quarterbacks in the history of the game, and you only won 2 Super Bowls.
Yeah.
That's a massive underachievement. You don't want that for this Texans team because this is going to be the best assemblance of talent starting with the quarterback and going there that this franchise has ever seen, and it looks like they're in go for it mode.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be this year. This year. This run is going to be the greatest run we've ever seen in Houston NFL history. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Let's take Stephon Diggs' temperature. He didn't catch 2 touchdowns in week 2. He didn't get targeted a whole lot. He's talking to Stroud, who is mic'd up, during the game. What did he have to say? Let's take Stephon Diggs' temperature. We'll use the pain scale again, the little kid's pain scale when doing this. It is the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. I never have any pain when I'm talking about the HR&P company we use here. HR&P, Human Resources and Payroll. They're fantastic. We use them here at Gal, as you know, and they're the best. Their help is so useful, especially this time of year. We're currently in open enrollment, signing up for insurance. I have a couple of kids and a wife, so that's always a little bit stressful, but it's not because of HR&P. So if you're a boss, you're an employer, take care of your employees. Get HR&P in their life. They'll be thankful that you did. It's Cougar owned by my colleague, Oak Cougs. Business owners, let them help you, whether it's HR compliance, benefits administration, payroll, onboarding, any of those areas. HR&P can help you. There's no boxes with HR&P. It doesn't matter how much help, how little help, but they're going to customize a plan for what you and your business needs. They'll sit down with you, chat about how they can help you, be at your service, and then they're going to serve. If you have a problem, you have an issue, you want to take a little bit off your plate, HR&P is going to find a way to help. Let them help you. That way you can spend your time and your resources back in the areas of your business that you want to. Stop wasting time on the things you don't like doing, you're not good at. And they also do it in a way that's unique. Technology meets service. They have the best tech. You'll love that. But their service is elite. You're gonna be so satisfied with their service. Guaranteed fulfillment. You'll never talk to a stranger. You'll be talking to someone who knows you and they know your business needs. Give them a call right now, 281-880-6525. Let HR&P customize a plan for you, 281-880-6525. Or check them out at HRP.net. That's HRP.net.
ESPN 97.5. You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
The University of Houston, go Cougs. They take on Iowa State, the Cyclones, a week from Saturday. Saturday, September 28th at TDECU Stadium. A family weekend. It's also our Hispanic Heritage Game. A night of thrilling plays, hard-hitting action. Cougar defense makes it hard-hitting. And unforgettable moments. Family night special. Four tickets, four hot dogs, four drinks, all for only $80. Where else can you get a family with all the food for just $80? Go to uhcougars.com/tickets or call 713-GO-COUGS to get your tickets now. Come early, be loud, wear red. We are giving away a pair of tickets right now to caller number 5, 713-780-3776. Caller number 5, you're headed to Houston, Iowa State, in what should be a very good game in the Big 12 a week from Saturday on September 28th. All right, let's take Stephon Diggs' temperature in a moment. First, we got to get to D'Amico Ryans. D'Amico Mutombo. Anytime that he's asked a question about injury, what does D'Amico Mutombo do?
No, no, no.
He rejects it. That's D'Amico Mutombo, the head coach of the Houston Texans. He was asked a question yesterday by our dear friend Aaron Wilson. And, you know, D'Amico Mutombo, he didn't necessarily like the question from Aaron Wilson.
Yeah, we'll take it day by day with Joe and his injury and see where he ends up at the end of the week still, you know, holding out hope that he can make it.
There you go. Nothing burger from D'Amico Ryans. He actually gave you a little nugget on the end. He was feeling bad. He gave you a little nugget on the end. But
not today.
Pretty much rejected it. Rejected it, D'Amico Mutombo. Don't ask D'Amico injury questions, because what's he going to do? We're going to see where we're at the end of the week. Every single injury question.
Not in my house.
Not in my house. We're going to see where he's at the end of the week. Every single time he's asked an injury question, we'll see where it's at the end of the week. Unless it's like season ending.
Yeah, no, and I think that's the way it should be. It's gamesmanship. We know how it works. We know that Belichick was the classic of all classics on doing it. But don't give up more than you have to. I mean, you look around the league and you know that these guys, from a fantasy football perspective, it sucks. But most coaches are going to want to take it all the way up until the bitter end to make defenses and coaches have to do extra work, extra practice, plan for two guys, see if that – whatever, whether it has little effect, no effect, or some effect, that's the way teams should operate. We shouldn't be giving you everything just because you want to know.
No, I agree. I like where D'Amico stands is on this, but D'Amico Mutombo is fun.
Good. I like
all that. Right, Stephon Diggs. Let's take the temperature on Stephon Diggs using the little kid's pain chart, where zero and green, happy face, no pain. Ten's the angry, red, unimaginable, unspeakable pain, which is a 10. Last week, I think I was I know I was at a zero. I couldn't remember if you were a zero or a one.
No, definitely zero.
All right, so no pain. We were both at no pain last week. Stephon Diggs this week didn't score two touchdowns. He had four catches, 37 yards, no touchdowns for Stephon Diggs. Mm-hmm. So let's keep that in mind. Here was Stephon Diggs sitting next to C.J. Stroud. C.J. Stroud was mic'd up during this game. It's why we got that Caleb Williams audio. Here was Diggs sitting down next to C.J. Stroud, and he said, "What about C.J. Stroud's ball?"
No, I got you. No, I ain't believe you for a long time.
Why?
It's so friendly that I'm like, ah.
He called his ball friendly. Stephon Diggs is saying you throw such a friendly ball. I've never heard that. I've kept up with football for
a good amount of time now. No.
I've never heard somebody tell a quarterback they throw a friendly ball.
No, me either.
Right?
That's
new?
I believe that's new.
Now, I think it's a positive thing.
Oh,
I think
for
it's
sure.
Like you throw a good ball, you throw maybe you protect me, you're not hanging me out to dry over the middle. I think that's what he means.
Because if you listen to some of the other audio from CJ when he was mic'd up, mm-hmm. even when a pass was completed, he was like, "My bad, bro. I got to put that out in front of you. I got to do those things."
Yeah.
And as a receiver, you definitely appreciate that.
Yeah, yeah. So I think that's what he means by a friendly ball. Like you lead me to space. You don't lead me into traffic. You're not getting me killed. So Stephon Diggs seemed to be pretty pleased. He also, like, it was kind of inaudible at the beginning of that. But whenever he said you throw a friendly ball, he was like, "That's what a quarterback does," which is like, okay. Do you not think that Josh Allen throws a friendly ball?
Exactly. I mean,
just wondering about that.
Yeah, I don't know if friendly is the kids' terms, the hip terms today, like fire and Ohio and all the things.
I don't think fire is the kids' word anymore. Ohio definitely is. But that means bad. If he was like, "You throw an Ohio ball,"
I know. I'm just
he'd probably want to be traded.
If that's new hip terminology, I'm out. But I think that he's basically saying he loves playing in this situation. And some of the other mic'd up stuff, too, that you hear when he's hyping up the rest of the team and he's talking to the linemen and the other receivers and things like that. I think he is having a great time. And I think that they're winning. Yeah. And I think that he is as happy as he can be for this season.
Last year, he went up to Josh Allen and told Josh Allen, "You throw a podium ball." He said that to Josh Allen a year ago. So it's better that Stephon Diggs is saying to Stroud that he throws a friendly ball than telling Josh Allen he throws a podium ball. All right, so pain scale here. Zero, no pain. 10, unimaginable, unspeakable. Last week, we were at a zero as we take the pain level of Stephon Diggs. Where are we this week?
I'm definitely at a zero.
You're still at a zero.
Yeah, I just, again, if I see the attitude start waning, if I see, you know, the stink eyes being thrown out there instead of all the rah-rahs and the claps and the handshakes and the support that he's given to his team and how he's loving his quarterback and the audio that we've heard, then maybe I'll change. But for now, I'm still at a zero.
Yeah, I'm moving mine up to a one. Now, him saying that you throw a friendly ball is good news. I was on the fence between a zero and a one. I almost went back to zero because he talked about how friendly the ball that C.J. Stroud throws to him. But I'm giving him a one based on the production and knowing that Stephon Diggs is in the final year of his deal. So six catches, 30, or six, well, that's what he did last week. Six for 33 and two touchdowns. This week he went for four and 37 with six targets. Four catches, 37 yards. What does that do in the free agent market? It doesn't get you paid. It doesn't get you paid. So, yes, he's talking friendly to Stroud. He's talking friendly about his ball. Four catches, 37 yards. I have to go to a one. That's still very good. It's still very good. Very mild. Still very good. In between the green faces, still very good, but I'm moving it to a one.
Yeah, I think we're at a point where we have to at least keep an eye on the yardage total. We have to raise the eyebrow like the Rock at the yardage total, because everything's fine and dandy right now. They're winning, and he's okay. But if he's continuing to have box scores that are 35 yards, 37 yards, 36 yards, by the time we get to week 15, week 14, I don't think it's going to be quite as happy, because he's going to know he's going to miss out on that paycheck. So I'll put it at a 1.5 for now.
Okay.
It's not a big deal right now, but if that yardage total doesn't start to tick up, it's something to watch for the second half of the season.
B-Mac again with the highest score for a certain population. Just saying. Yeah, so 0, 1, 1.5. A few people on the Twitter, CJ says no pain. Christopher says 0, which is breaking the rules because it's that's not breaking the rules. That is no pain. So that's
yeah,
no pain
too. We did that last week.
It's 0 to 10. Yeah, my bad. Scott says, say he's doing great. Don't rock his emotional boat. Happy Diggs, happy life. We're treating Stephon Diggs like our wife. Like, do not rock the wife. Happy wife, happy life. Happy Diggs, happy life. Is that how the way we need to be treating Stephon Diggs? Like he is our wife.
I think that was the possible philosophy going into the season. So far, they haven't had to put that project into place and that plan. I don't put it out of the realm of possibilities for later in the season if things go haywire. But for now, all is good.
Yeah. So, and then Dennis calls him a diva, which is not on the list, Dennis. It's 0 to 10. 0, no pain. 10, unimaginable, unspeakable. It's not diva, Dennis. You broke the rules. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Oh, they wanted us to do a Houston. They wanted us to do a Texans injury report on the Twitch. So let me pull up the injury report real quick. Thursday injury report. It does look better than it did yesterday. Azeez Al-Shaair, Chris Boyd, Nico Collins, and Foley Fatakasi. They're all limited, which is good because Boyd, Collins, and Fatakasi didn't practice yesterday. Lassiter has all of a sudden shown up on the injury report, but he was a full participant. They're just showing that he had an elbow injury. Joe Mixon was a did not participate again. Not a great sign. Damian Pierce did not participate again. Not a great sign. Aaron Wilson says that they're getting Cam Akers ready to be RB1 this weekend. Jared Patterson, limited. Juice Scruggs, limited. MJ Stewart, limited. Although Wilson did say that Juice Scruggs is expected to start on Sunday. And then Dalton Schultz went from a limited participant yesterday to a full participant today. So Twitch asked, you get it. We do it for you. All right, 713-780-ESPN, HRNP listener line. Let's get to the car wreck of the day. What is the car wreck of the day? It is the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
You say.
Chattahoochee, it gets hotter than a hoochie-coochie.
Live in the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees. Now back to Joel and Jeremy.
I think this might be my favorite one.
Is it?
I think so.
Did you see, I was reading one of the articles today, that Bregman, when they were talking about the intangibles in that, I think it was the Athletic article, and they mentioned that Bregman, aside from like telling Hunter Brown to throw the two-seamer, said that he recommended that they play Wild Thing for Fromber in his, when he was warming up. Or
really?
Pregame music. I was like,
that's weird.
Okay.
Wild get paid. Thing?
Hijack is my nomination right now for car wreck.
What is
Hijack? You hijacked it.
Yeah, what
completely changed the subject.
What does Fromber's song have to do with talking about
because we talk about the songs that are apropos to Fromber Valdez, like Roller Coaster, because he roughed it out on that time we turned him around.
Yeah.
I don't get Wild Thing for Fromber. He's not really wild.
Yeah, there's a little correlation there. It's not a full hijack. Well, it's like partial hijack. I didn't see that. That's funny, though.
Yeah.
And Fromber can be a little wild, like with his emotions.
I don't know if I want to.
With his command at times.
Like, I don't trust Fromber would take that in good stride, though.
True.
I wouldn't want to risk him being insulted by it and then him melting down on the mound.
That's the thing. It's not a wild thing. It's a more an emotion. What's going on between his ears?
Yeah. The Baila Este Cumbia, Luis Garcia song, was my favorite. But he went and got hurt and screwed that whole thing up. So I think this is my favorite, the way that we tie in the and then boom, into the Chattahoochee. I think this is my favorite one. But Astros opened the final homestand of the year tonight. Yusei Kikuchi is on the mound. Mariners, by the way, lead the Yankees right now 3-2. So Mariners are 3 outs away from pulling to within 4.5 in the division. Of course, the Astros host the Mariners for 3 coming up this week. What does Yusei Kikuchi do tonight for the Astros?
Let's go.
That's right.
And let's go. let's go. I know it's 6 is a tough bar for him, but let's go 6 1/3, and let's go 1 run.
The Angels are so stinking bad.
They are. They're terrible.
They're so bad. If the Astros don't win this series, disappointment. He has went 6 or greater in each of his last 3 starts. 7 innings against the Angels, 6 innings against Arizona, 7 innings against KC. You said 6 1/3 and what?
One earned run.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. Why not?
Yeah,
I'll take it.
For that.
I'll take it. I also think he does it.
I think he can do better.
He's capable
than that.
Of the long ball, though. I'll take the over, but of course we'll take it. I think he goes like 6 2/3, 7 innings, gives up like 2 runs. Kind of similar to his last outing. Because he'll give up a home run. He'll give up a dinger every now and then.
Yeah, but I think that's the one. I don't think.
He walked the 8-9 hole back to back last time they faced him. Yeah. Remember that?
Yeah.
And they both scored.
That's true.
Jose Suarez.
Mickey Moniak. Who got him? Someone got him that was kind of random.
I think it was Moniak.
Yeah.
Wasn't Moniak a lefty on lefty? When Oppo Taco, maybe? Maybe it was Moniak.
You're saying Orando got the Astros?
Yeah.
Shout out to Lance. Did
he win an MVP in the past? Jose Suarez pitches for the Angels. 1-2, 680 ERA. Only a second start. I wonder if he's more of an opener.
Yeah, because he's been in the bullpen a lot. I think he's faced the Astros a lot, but out of the pen.
He went 4 innings against the Astros the last time that he was pitching. So maybe it's like opener or trying to extend him tight.
They were down and he ate up innings when they yanked it. Yeah.
Oh, so it was in mop up?
It was that's right. I remember that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Maybe he actually, I think he followed up an opener.
He did. He followed up a starter that either struggled and a younger guy that got pulled and then he went 4 innings.
Yeah. So he's starting today. All right. Let's get to car wreck of the day.
You all right?
My leg's broken. The bone's coming through.
Let me see. Give me your bone, you prick. Where's my money?
This is the car wreck of the day.
Car wreck of the day. What is your nominee? 713-780-3776. Blankers, who's your nominee for car wreck of the day?
How can it not start with the debacle in Seattle? I mean, how can it not take Julio Rodriguez? Because the more I watch that replay, the more I keep thinking, I've seen guys jump over the bat. I've seen guys take a couple steps back. He almost should have been called out for being out of the baseline because he turned around and ran all the way into the coach's box.
Can't be out of the baseline if there's not a play on you.
Okay, but he was so far. He was almost like out of the field of play. He was heading towards the dugout almost. It was so like drastic how far he got out of the way that it was sad.
He went brain dead.
Yeah.
He went brain dead.
He was like just jogging back and like
I don't know what he thought. Like people were saying, well, he thought it might have been a foul ball. I don't think so. I think he literally lost his mind. I think he froze up. I think he froze up and forgot the situation completely.
The only thing I could think of was like he thought there was two outs because then
no chance. There was no outs.
I'm saying, but if it was that case, but this was no outs, there's no way you're going to think the strikeout was the last out. I got out of the way of the bat and now the inning's over.
I think he froze.
It was just a brain fart.
I mean, obviously boneheaded for him to the way he jogged towards the dugout and took his time getting back. It's obviously a boneheaded move. I would say, though, I would kind of like to see Major League Baseball put in to where the umpire can basically call time on something like
that. Stop it. That's soft.
You have a bat that comes
that
close to hitting you?
No.
They should be able to allow you to get back to the bag.
You know what a boss does in that moment? He catches the bat and goes back to the bag. That was so soft.
Infielders get out of the way of broken bats. Guys running on third base jump out of the way of foul balls.
It's a dead ball situation.
No, it's not.
If the bat is thrown your way and you have to leap out of the way, you should be able to get back to the base.
It's not a dead ball
situation. How is it a dead ball situation? The ball's live. He strikes out. The runner from first could be stealing.
The ball's not in play. So it should be a dead ball. You're allowed to get back to the base.
It's the wussification of America. That's what I'm hearing. Seattle just won, by the way, 3-2. So the Astros leads 4.5 games. Need a win today to keep it at 5. I will also nominate the Seattle Mariners because you have Victor Klulis 2 nights ago, and then you had Jay Nimrod yesterday. How do you win a division with Klulis and Jay Nimrod? You don't. Can't do it. I'll also nominate, since you nominated that, Detroit Lion fans. They got Dan Campbell's address.
Yeah, that's right.
He's selling his house for security reasons, you idiot fans. Let people have privacy, please. Come on. Don't be weak and soft and a loser like that. All right, what do you nominate?
I'm going to nominate. Well, I guess I'll give 2 nominations. One to myself for apparently mispronouncing curmudgeon earlier. I didn't
hear how you said it.
Yeah, I didn't think I mispronounced it, but I guess I did, according to the texters. I'm also nominating, I don't know if you guys saw the story, but there's a Philadelphia man who's going to face up to 5 years in prison because he got in an online argument with someone in his fantasy football league who apparently lives in Norway. And he decided to call in a mass shooting and bomb threat hoax because he was mad at this guy in his fantasy football league. And he's now been arrested and possibly could serve 5 years in prison.
Is this Tommy Pham?
No, it's not Tommy Pham. He upped Tommy Pham. He went more than a punch in the face. He apparently called like a Norwegian embassy and said this man in his fantasy football league was going to commit a mass shooting and tried to get him arrested and said he got arrested.
Now, you should pay your league dues without being asked.
We don't know that's what this is about.
Could be. I bet you it is. Why else would he be doing that?
I don't know. It just says that it was they had a disagreement.
Maybe it's over fat budget.
It's got to be something financial.
I think it's got to be financial.
Yeah.
It's got to be financial. A couple from the text line. A car wreck of the day is Lance's kid for acting like he knows baseball and not knowing who Dylan Cease is.
I don't know.
He's murking the Astros is what he said.
Snacks knows. I think he's more of a diehard NBA guy.
Couldn't tell you.
Yeah, actually, no-namer. The clip was too long to play, but Lance actually says like he knows everything about the NBA, but
yeah, he's
not really
big basketball.
He's just now getting into baseball.
Josh from Seabrook, car wreck of the day. Whoever said that living in League City is near LaPorte and Deer Park?
Also Lance.
It's like saying that you live near Baltimore when you're in a D.C. suburb. You're 30 miles away. So a couple of Zerlines are nominated for car wreck of the day. Yeah. And then 1509, can I nominate these bad words that hack into banking institutions? Ugh. This is not fun trying to get your own name back. Who the heck wants my trash credit? Yeah, scammers, hackers, that's a special breed. Special. I had people scamming my Panda Express a year ago.
That's right. Panda points.
Yeah, I got them back.
Good, I know.
Got the Panda, but I can't pay on my Apple Pay on Panda anymore. They like locked out my payment. So now I have to go order there, show them the QR code. It just takes a little longer because the food's not waiting for me. It's a little annoying. First world problems. All right, what's winning?
Mariners.
Mariners, unanimous?
I'm fine with Mariners, yeah.
It's not just last night. It's got to be the whole combo platter.
Combo platter. Yep. Victor Clueless and Jay Nimrod. What's the dynamic duo? The dumb duo of Victor Clueless and Jay Nimrod. Congratulations. Hopefully that's all you win because they won a baseball game today. 4.5 games. All right, that does it for us. Thanks to Brian, the hard work. He's blank on Brandon. Talk to you tomorrow, Houston. Good night.
ESPN.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.